So we went to the National Arboretum, where the Camp Bastion War Memorial was. It was me, Paul Jacobs, you, Robbie Long.
Yeah.
And we had Billy Drinkwater. Unfortunately, Ken Focal couldn't make it because he had to fly back because his granddad, weren't it?
Yeah, family incident.
Family incident back where he comes from in the Philippines. We had Chris Newell. We had the CEO of Blind Veterans, Nick Kaplan.
Yeah.
Major General. Oh, cool. Yeah, Andy Allen, of course.
Yeah.
A Irish Ranger.
Colin Williamson.
Yeah. And don't forget Anthony Coops.
That was a real interesting experience. I mean, the memorial there is, how many plinths was it? Was it four?
Four
plinths with all the names of every soldier that died in the Afghan campaign etched into it, their rank and the date they died. And yeah, being able to feel that, you know, tactilely was, you know, it was quite a moment really for me, you know, feeling Bombardier Sam Robinson's name there, my friend who died in the same IED incident as me. It was humbling, but being in that same incident and, you know, the way the incident took place, it could have easily been my name etched into that same spot.
Totally get that feeling.
That was a moment for me where I didn't realise, but it did quite take my breath away.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know what it was like for you, but just, you know, how many names and feeling them etched in there was...
Well, it's like you say with Bombardier Sam...
Sam Robinson.
Sam yeah. Robinson, you know, the same for me. It was Sergey McAleese and Paul McAleese and Private Jonathan Young. And like you say, as soon as you touch their names, it's like it all came real. When something, I think when you're blind, you have a mind's eye, which is like an eye in your head. So us blind people, we can see things without seeing them. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, you're total like me, totally blind.
That's correct, yeah.
Have you got eyes at all?
I've got a left eye, but it doesn't work. To me, the memorial was like I was fixed and touching Sergeant McAleese's name and all the other bods that are, you know, Joe and William and all. As soon as I touched the names, it was like a shock went through me. This is how it was for me, and I was transported there for that split second.
Yeah,
I could see their smiles in my head.
And I suppose for anyone who was there between 2007 and 2011, roughly, I mean, the whole campaign was awful, but that time, you know, we were getting reports every week of, you know,
casualties.
People killed. It was basically every week it was going on. And then going through the names, you know, seeing it and seeing just the dates and everything like that, it's
emotional. I don't know.
It's an emotional experience to almost have a tactile.
As much as it was tactile, I don't know if it was for you. I wanted to cry, but I couldn't cry.
Yeah.
And in a sense, I know that a couple of our brothers did cry.
For me, it was just, I don't know, the main thing was just like, I could be up on that wall. That's my guide dog Ollie. If Mike picked that up, making his cow noises, the main thing was just, you know, really realizing that could be me up on there. And the secondary to that was, you know, look at what this has cost. You know, young British guys and women, you know, what a waste of talent, what a waste of dreams, what a waste of life. And obviously, I, you know, personally, I believe in the war in Afghanistan and things like that. And but it is that whole thing about war, really. You know, someone's got to go over there. You know, someone had to do it.
But then it comes down to, is it war though, Robbie, or is it a campaign? A war is where you're fighting two nations and you're fighting for good against evil. Whereas,
I mean,
what we were on is a campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was unconventional warfare, but it was, you know, at the end of the day, it was a war, and it was, you know, it's what the modern world has to deal with. And we were the guys who signed the line to, you know, take the risk and go over there, and we took the risk of being up on that wall.
Amen.
We signed that, and we, you know, we could have easily been up on that wall, and, you know, we took that risk when we pledged our oath to the Queen.
Oh, we did, and I still do to this day.
Mm.
But the this is why we can never forget how much of a how much they gave, you know what I mean, in Selfish, and you know, they gave their yesterday for our today, and we can't forget. And I do think in the charity sector and the British public are kinder in the last, maybe the last decade, in regards to wounded personnel and post-traumatic stress, and they're coming to realise now that once these soldiers get out 2, 5, 10, 20 years afterwards, even people from the Falklands are still having nightmares at night time, can't sleep, and they might not have wounds like we have, but they might just be mentally scarred, which I believe you are. I know I definitely am. I suffer with it, and so, you know, it's, I do think the British charity sector is doing a heck of a lot. We're blessed.
Yeah,
you know, we've got this fantastic charity that's stood over time for 100 years. Yeah. You know, Blind Veterans UK.
I'm really happy with the support sector for British troops, you know, physically and, you know, mentally injured, and not even that, for the, you know, for the guys who have served their time and just had, you know, hard circumstances that's left them out on the streets, like Home for Heroes and, you know, blind veterans and everything like that, just taking care of people who have, you know, been willing to sacrifice themselves and have ended up in an unfortunate situation.
I think it brings us communities closer as well, because I think if you've got a wounded bloke at the bottom of your street, then by the time that he's home and the council have, you know, contributed and done a little bit of press work around him, everyone sort of rallies around and supports him. I know my local community were very good with me. I don't know about you, what's your local community like? So now you've moved, haven't you?
Yeah, no, well, it's okay. I mean, the shopkeepers and everything like that are great at helping me. I go down there with the guide dog, and obviously I can't go around the shelves, like, just picking everything up, guessing what it is and throwing it in the trolley, so they'll contact me, and I can get around my local community, and people are friendly to me, say hi to me on the street and stuff like that, and the dog's a bit of an attention, like, magnet, if you know what I mean. He's a big old dog, and he's just there, and people want to come over and, you know, talk to you and stuff like that, and you do get a lot of attention of people if people know you're a veteran and stuff like that. I mean,
but in one way, you have to be careful, which I think we all learned in Britain the hard way, didn't we, with Maysell, rest in peace, Lee Rigby, in Woolwich.
I mean, that happened two roads, a few streets down from me, and I was on the bus in front of that when that incident happened. It was one of those crazy days. Really crazy days.
Yeah, well, you know, let's hope it never repeats itself. And
like you were saying, it's unconventional. It's unconventional warfare. It's an unconventional enemy that we have to battle these days.
But you know what I mean? We're brothers. We signed on a dotted line, and there's brothers and sisters out there that are worse off than us, and some are better off than us. Yeah. You know, and I think we're quite blessed, Rob. Do you know what I mean? We've got our heads about us, and we're doing all right. You're doing well, all right.
Yeah, I mean, bringing it back to the Arboretum. I mean, you know, they've lost everything, and you know, I can't complain. I'm still here, and I do need help, you know, and I've received that help that I've needed to support me in my life, mainly from blind veterans and from the charity Blind Veterans, and I'm massively grateful for that.
Well, even though the Arboretum is there to be you go there to remember we did that, but by God, what a mess up me and Bill got into.
Yeah.
Oh, do you remember? What happened? You don't remember? I was me with my trousers. I bought a pair of trousers the day before, black pair of trousers, and it still had the great big tag on it right where the crutch area is.
Nice.
So I couldn't really wear them, so I had to cover it over with the blazer. And then I've like gone to Bill's room. I said, "Bill, look
at this." Oh, you mean you had the security tag on?
I still had the security tag on. Yeah.
Where'd you nick them from?
Sorry, I can't disclose that information. Yeah. Anyway, I've still got the receipt. Anyway,
yeah.
And then I've gone to Bill. I said, "Bill, look at this, mate." And he's like really laughing at me. He said, "You never guess what, Ginge? I've gone, what, gone?" He said, "I've only packed two left shoes."
Yeah.
So all day Bill was walking around with two left shoes, and I'm walking around with this tag on.
Oh, different colours, weren't they, as well? One brown and one right, black or something like
Same
that.
Same ridiculous. Yeah. So it was a. There is, you've got to take the good with the bad. You know what I mean? Them people on that wall, they wouldn't want you standing there moping around all day, laying flowers every day. You know, we are who we are. Yeah. We're soldiers, and we're there. We take mix. We've got a good sense of humour, and that just shows what kind of people we were.
Yeah, and one of the things about meeting up with guys who are injured the same as you, have been through a very similar thing from you, there is a great camaraderie there. As in amongst blind veterans, it's that same thing when you were in the army, where you know you're stuck with these people, and we all come from different, we're all very, very different, but we all bring something to the table, and there is a great, there's a great link between us. I always feel that bond whenever we meet up with blind veterans on any of these social occasions, no matter who they are. I do always feel this bond, and everyone, you know, we always end up having a pretty good time, don't we?
Yeah, we have a good laugh, and there's always smiles on faces, and it's always nice to, yeah, it's always nice to see you, Rob. I get excited seeing you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't take that in any funny way, because yeah, I know what you're like. I don't trust people like you.
gym fairies.
It's up to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
The gym fairy. Girl, you wouldn't want to mess with this bloke. He's absolutely huge. But no, it's like, you know, it's like walking back into the barracks again, isn't it? Without sight, and just like, hello, Robbie, or hello, Bill, hello, Kenny. Do you know what I mean? It's like time has stood still, and it's
well,
nice.
I remember when I first walked through those doors. I mean, I'd of the Blind Veterans Centre in Brighton. I'd been injured for a few months then, and I couldn't go to the barracks or anything like that because I was living in London and my regiment was up north, and so I was stuck. I was still serving in the army. I was still contracted to the army, but I'd been in Civvy Street, and I'd spent this sort of 6 months in kind of almost like limbo,
isolation. Not knowing either way.
My civvy mates couldn't relate to me. I wasn't round army mates, and my army mates, you know, they're still serving. The Afghan campaign is still going on. They're still, you know, they're still going out there on tours and stuff like that. And like, I don't want to see them because, you know, they're doing
things that you wanted to be doing.
They're doing my life. Yeah, exactly. They were doing the life I wanted to live. Yeah, and you know, and it was tough. I was stuck in this limbo. And then I remember walking through the centre doors at Brighton, and you know, this Martin, you know, Martin, he came up to me, Shales, ex-Royal Marine, big guy, and he comes up to me, shakes my hand, and says, hey Rob, he'd done his research on me, knew who I was, very friendly, took me round, showed me the building, and then we went into the training flat I was going to be living in, and it was like being in that feeling of phase one training again, you know, where you're around a bunch of army lads. This is, you're here to learn something, you're here to do something, and
chin up, lad.
Up, and you know, if you know you're blind, you know, people are not going to feel sorry for you there or take pity on you. They're here to give you something. You can take it or you can not take it. And anyway, his warmth and his also ability to, if you fall over or bump into anything, to he wouldn't hesitate to, you know, to do that good army banter with you. And anyway, he takes me up, he's shown me all around this building, and I sit down, and the partner I was with at the time moved a coffee table, and then he goes to walk out the room, trips over this coffee table, and that's when I realised he was blind as well. And at that point, that's the point for me where I'm just like, wow, you know, he's done all this, he's walked around so naturally. I didn't know he was blind. The partner I was with, she didn't know he was blind. You know, there's hope. You know, I can become a ninja as well, you know what I mean? You can get round. And it's not the fact that I want to hide that I'm blind, it's more that
you've taken up the torch to see the light.
You can become non-disabled. You can't let this disability, you know, consume you. You know, you consume who you are and be the automatically, like. And I think I've, over these last 5 years, I kind of have achieved that, where I don't feel like when I walk into the room, I'm the blind guy anymore. I'm just a guy, especially when I am in the pub and stuff like that, sitting down, I'll chat to people. And you know, the prosthetics are so good these days, people can't even tell my sight loss. I'll give them facial attention and stuff like that. And I don't know how it is for you, but have you got tooth prosthetic eyes?
Do people
come up and say, you know, Jesus, they look real? Or
yeah, no, people always say that, but then they say you're bloody ugly, so they have to keep the light off anyway.
Yeah,
you know, so no, it's all good. It's all good.
You got a prosthetic in the left and the right.
And the right, yeah. So in the left eye is actually still the eyeball itself, but it's just a cap over it, so it's just like a prosthetic lens over it.
Yeah.
And then in the right is very much like yours, you know, it's just a thicker prosthetic lens.
Yeah.
But no, it's all good, and you can still move yours left and right, up and down, and circles, and back to front.
You got much scarring or anything like that on your face, or?
There's a little bit on my nose, which I'm feeling now on my right hand, and there's a bit of scarring on my cheek where the shrapnel cut through my cheek.
But you're boxing now, so it's good. It's good to have a few scars on your face, especially your nose.
Well, it makes you guard, mate.
It makes you look nails, doesn't it?
Oh, intimidate mate, your enemy. Massive. I'm proper solid, mate.
Yeah, mate. If I went into the ring, blind or not, if I saw, how big are you?
I'm 6'2".
Yeah, 6'2" guy, scarred up face, walking towards me. I think I've entered the wrong sport.